down. Praise the Lord. You're not dwelling on stuff that cast your thoughts down because you'd had them cast down 24 hours a day. It's just a small testimony, but a large testimony in that, a magnificent and still an ongoing testimony. And I'm going to get us to, I could give more testimonies tonight, thousands tonight. But this is just a small testimony because of a representation here of Brother Edward. And it's the son I want to speak about, just quickly. Our brother Stephen that used to come here, he recently had a trip to Guyana. And a while back he baptized over 50 people. The amazing thing about it is, he recalls the day I met him in the spar shop under the war. And God speaks to me. He still does. And he did then. And even before that I was fully committed to the King of Kings, he spoke to me every day. He spoke to me every day. And I was down in Anthony one day and a mixer wouldn't start. And I went down and I put a bit of power into it. Some boys need more Weetabix in the mornings. But her brother Stephen wasn't there that morning. But God showed me this young man. And he says, there's a young man going to come here today and I'm going to use him for me and service for me. Now the reason I say that, because Stephen is a witness. And other Catholic men that was there that day as a witness also, that these words were spoke before these things came to pass. Is that not God? Amen. That is God. And it speaks for itself. But you know, the Lord said to me, when I seen him coming down the entry, and I had a bit of a conversation with him, and after I got to know him a few days, I says, the Lord's going to use you. Now he laughed. And his dad and his mother in that stage weren't seeking the Lord. And you know, God wants people. All people. God come to seek them that had no righteousness of their own. But you know, I just want to give a quick testimony because a brother had been chatting to me the other day. And you know, I was driving along and I was in a machine. And the tears started to come up inside me. But God has spoke so many times to me. Now not man, God has spoke to me. And he didn't use man to do it. He's done it himself. He spoke inside me. Then I told men about it. And this young man, when I told Stephen that at the start, he was, you can understand, have you ever tried getting into a pub? I've done it a load of times. Go into a pub in Dublin, Blackpool, Manchester, Glasgow. Go into a red light district. I know you don't want to be frequenting them places. But sometimes God sends you to places. Go to a place where there's drug addicts. And tell them about Jesus. And sometimes you say, what am I doing here? But God has a plan. And he uses you in his plan. God doesn't want us to have little clubs where who catches the biggest fish, the smallest fish, or the most fish. Jesus just wants you to get him to the people. And he'll use anyone. And I just wanted to give the quick testimony as how Stephen that day, he thought like, well, how could God use me? But you know, one day we were in Port Rouge and the rain came on and the guys were giving out tracts and we were walking along and as the sky usually in this country in Ulster, the six counties unfortunately at the moment of Ulster, not far from Londonderry, we were in Port Rouge and it wanted to rain like it does in this blessed little land of Ulster. It wanted to rain. And Brother Stephen was there with me. And we were walking along and we gave a few tracks out that started to get a bit wet. And I said to Stephen, it's given a wet day. And Stephen says, no, it's not going to rain. I've already spoke to God about this. The rain stopped. Now I'm not talking about maybe half an hour down the line after we were soaked. It stopped at that moment of time. Now that's a testimony. Learn how to speak to the devil and rebuke the devil and your circumstances because your friends won't. They will comfort him and bring him forward and they will let him stay where he's at because of fear to rebuke the devil. We're working with devils every day. The spiritual man is not worried about the flesh. Your flesh may feel weak, but the spirit is willing. The rain stopped that day, and after it stopped, I said, remember what I told you down the entry in the square. Greater things than this shall you do, because Jesus says, I go unto the Father. He's talking to all them that believe. But I thank God that young man has a testimony tonight. And as we know, he's led people to the Lord. Over 50 people not so long ago were baptized. I mean, that's not just a coincidence. That's just a figment of your imagination. There was an old young man, he's no representation here tonight. His people were Catholic people, but he wanted to go to Chicago in America to witness for Christ. He was also saved. But that's just slight testimonies where you're in your workplace and you can witness for the Lord. Or if you're whatever place you're at, you can still witness for God. God sees the private place. God's in the secret place. God is not mocked. God cannot be mocked because he's sovereign. Men can be mocked. You can mock men. But be careful who you're throwing the stone at. Because people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And you know, the thing is this. At one time they wanted to stone David, the king of Israel. And he'll sit on a throne one day, we know that. But I wanted just to give a testimony there quickly, because Brother Edward's a humble man. He could have got up and said this about his son and different things. But I want to let you see that there's people that son among us that God has used. And there's people among us right now that God's going to do big things with. And it's people you wouldn't think at all. The last person you can think of at all will do great things for Christ. Because that's the God we serve. He takes the least and he puts them to the top. And our brother preached one time from America. He was here, our brother Spencer. And he said, it's like they say, if you make a mistake when you're playing in the orchestra, and they stop it all. And he says, right, take it from the top. God takes it from the top. So that's just a testimony. And we're thankful for Brother Edward still comes. And comes here to fellowship with us. And our sister Lynn. It's mighty. And these is people that God has lifted up. And give them a place. And a spiritual home in heaven. When we get out of this suitcase. We're walking about it. Who's glad about that? Amen. Our brother Gary will come and sing. That's just a quick testimony. He's in Guyana. He's done a trip. And many people's heard about Christ. And it's wonderful to see him even praying for young people and different people. God is using him as a man for him. I think that's mighty. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. let's sing. Maybe we'll sing another one if you don't mind. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. Amen. Giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the low. Fill my way every day with love. Hallelujah. Is that not your prayer tonight?
Amen.
Are you not sick of seeing doom and gloom and depression?
Yes.
But I am.
Glory.
You want to see victory and joy.
Amen.
You want the Lord to put something into you that you come in contact with the devil. He picked fear and run. Hallelujah. Amen. Give you thanks tonight, Lord, that you lifted us up, Lord, out of a dunghill, Lord. Lord, you redeemed us back, Lord, when we were unlovable. You loved us, Lord, and you laid down your life for us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help us tonight, Lord, to look at your word afresh, Lord. Let every word of mine, inspired of me, be cast down in the name of Jesus. But let all your words tonight, inspired off your beloved word, Lord, tonight, let it sink into our hearts and into our minds, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll help your people at this time, Lord. Sustain them, strengthen them, encourage them, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there'll not be a feeble one leave this building tonight, Lord, but that you'll heal, save, and deliver in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you tonight that we know that you are a healer and a deliverer, Lord.
Yeah.
And Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you are the soon coming King, Lord.
Right.
Lord, we look forward to that day, Lord, when you break forth through the sky and take us home, Lord, to be with you in glory. But Lord, whilst we're here, help us, Lord, to testify, to witness, Lord, to labor for thee, Lord, until that day comes, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll save all our loved ones, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll touch each and every one that's on our hearts and on our minds tonight. Lord, I pray for those that laid aside sick at home or anything, Lord, cast down or discouraged, Lord. I pray that your ministering angels will speak into their ear tonight, Lord. Lord. Speak into their hearts tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon us, Lord. Lord, I pray that everything that's said tonight will be to the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's just turn our Bibles tonight to... I'm going to borrow the children's verse for an opening verse here tonight. Tonight I want to talk about a question. What are your expectations? I want to talk about expectations. Now, I did preach a message very similar to this, but it's maybe about 9 or 10 years ago. It might have been here, or it might have been in Scotland, I'm not too sure. But it's, what are your expectations? Now, we'll read here, Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 and verses 2 and verses 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. You may have your seats tonight. Isn't it wonderful? Right away, faith is the substance. Faith is as good as having it in your hand. Faith, when you look for something or ask for something from God, you have to believe that you actually have it there and then. That's how faith operates. God, if you ask God and you believe, all things are possible, only believe. See, but what is your expectations? The world's saying is, if you ever meet anybody about anything at all, it is, always expect the worst. I'm telling you now, this or that, but expect the worst. What about expect the best? What about expect it's going to be all right? You know, recently there's a bit of a testimony. Maybe it means absolutely nothing, and you can read into it any way you want. But, you know, recently there when my dad wasn't well, I was actually working at a job in Bomb Bridge, and I was in my own vehicle. And I've had the Jeep now nearly 2 years. And from the day and hour I bought it, I put a CD into it and wouldn't play. And I tried it several times. And it never would play a CD for me. Well, I wasn't overly worried, but the only thing about it was the old van I had bought the whole of the King James Bible on discs. And I always tried to leave a disc in it, and I would have tried to play it, you know, in the mornings when I was dropping the children off to school or when I was travelling anywhere. It was great if you were going a long journey because you had it playing. And you know, you might think maybe you weren't picking it up all the time, but it's just surprising. You know, maybe in a situation, you know, I was in a canteen one day and there's a man and they started to talk about different things. You know, it's just amazing the way God brings verses and scriptures to your memory. Just to speak at that time. And there was a Catholic man there, and when I come out, he says, because, like, I wouldn't really be a confrontational person or anything. I wouldn't want to try and start an argument or anything. But your man, he sort of said a few things the way he thought he was going to just shut me up kind of thing. He knew all. But I sort of gave him a few scriptures and things, and he sort of didn't know what to think. And the man, he came out, he says, like, I didn't know you would have known that there. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But as I was saying to you, it actually, the man that I sold the van to rang me up after I had bought the Jeep, and he says, I have found a disc in the Jeep. Are you missing a disc? I says, but I don't know. It was sort of a panic job. I didn't intend. We went to buy the Jeep at the time, and I wasn't intending to trade the van in, but before I left, I sold your mom the van, so I had her head out before I left. It was sort of a panic job. But he says, I have found a disc here. It's the Bible reading. I says, good man, by sending it up down the road for it. I don't want to lose anything. So then I said, just when I have you on, the CD player isn't working on this yoke. So he says, take it out and bring it up to me. So I says, I'll do that, but that's 2 years ago, so it's still happening. But anyway, I said, do you mind if I record that? I said, by Mick, you as many recordings of that as you can, and whatever you want, that's 100%. So it turned out he was a Christian man himself. But anyway, he sent me that down the road. But on that day, my daughter took bad, you know, I was sitting thinking, I was driving down the road, and I was sort of saying to myself, it's not typical, and there's that old thing not working. You know, If you're listening to God's word, or even reading God's word, like John said this morning, hearing it, reading it out loud, to hear God's word is wonderful. And I was driving down the road and saying, that's a real discouragement, that dirt not working. That's just the way I was talking to myself. And I said, you know something? Why could that not work? Why could God not fix that? And I hooked out the CD and I says, I'm going to put in a Bible verse and it's going to be an encouragement. And I put it in, hit the button, she worked. And she's working ever since. You see, sometimes, now I fought and wrestled with that thing and there was all bits and pieces in the dish that wasn't working and I wired and footed about. I got them working, but the CD player never worked until I told it had to work. So, what is your expectations? God knows what you need. At that particular time, I needed encouragement. And when I was able to put that in, that was a confirmation to me. When I asked God for that, I said, now when I get home, I know all everybody is praying, and I thank you all for your prayers for my dad. And, you know, I said, that was a confirmation. When I get home and when we pray, something's going to change. And you know, it all looked bad, but I kept saying, you know, we can't look at the negative. We have to have a positive expectation. And whatever your expectation is, that's what you'll have. Now, I don't even know what time it is, but I'll try not to be too long-winded tonight. But, you know, that's just a testimony. Maybe it doesn't mean a whole lot, but to me it meant something, and it was brilliant, you know, that the Lord fixed it, because now I can put it on in the mornings, and the children then are even able to hear the Bible verses been read. And it's surprising what they pick up too, because, you know, there's that much rubbish on the radio. Now, there's one or two channels on that, but no, Radio Star Country. There's another one there, 846 AM or whatever it is. That's a good channel as well. There's a couple of men in it. There's a man in it from America on sometimes. I think he's a Baptist man. But there's one morning they come on and listen to him. I nearly had to turn it off because it was more of a discouragement than an encouragement. He spent the whole time saying how God couldn't do nothing anymore, basically. How that Jesus basically is disarmed. Well, I want to tell you he's not disarmed. And you're not disarmed. You're fully armed.
Right.
Because he showed you how to use the weapon. Yes. What was the weapon that Jesus gave us? The word.
Amen.
What was the weapon that he used when he went out into the desert to be tempted of the devil? The word.
Amen.
What did he say to Satan every time he tried to tempt him or say something to him? It is written. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why the devil's against this King James Bible. That's why they have taken Jesus out of it. That's why they want to take the blood out of it. That's why they want to plan. The devil is a subtle character, because the whole emphasis on changing it is, we'll make it easier read and understood. Now, I am by no means any scholar. Gary's the man basically taught me how to read. I never was taught how to read in school. I couldn't get the grasp of it at all. I was completely stupid, basically. But you know, I went to the farm in the summer holidays and I said to Gary, I was having trouble reading. He said to me, I'll have you reading before the holidays is out. And I can't even, it could have been cocoa or some of them hot chocolate drinks. He said to me, read everything on the back of that. So I had to work at reading that and I footed about it. And then, you know, I had an interest in wanting to read the Bible, but I was that bad at reading I could hardly even read it. So I prayed, I said, God, if you can help me to read, I'll read the Bible. So God helped me to read it, but I'm still not that great, but still anyway. But, you know, it's wonderful what God can do if you have the right expectation. We see, if we turn in our Bibles tonight here to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and Paul speaking here. I looked up the word expectations, and the word expectation, and the word means a strong belief that something will happen. It's a strong belief. If you've got the right expectations, there's a strong belief that something's going to happen.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Right.
I know it's just a simple word, but you know, isn't it wonderful, the meaning of it? A strong belief that something's going to happen. You know, people have a strong belief that the negative is always going to happen.
Right.
Oh, this is not right. The credit crunch, or, you know, that was all the doom and gloom story. The whole world was going to stop turning and everybody was going to fall off it until there's no gravity. But you know, it didn't happen. God's in control. You know, it may not look good in the bank account. It may not look good at work. It may not look good anywhere else. And it may seem like a rat race, which it is. But God is in control.
Amen.
What is your expectation?
That's right.
Are you going to limit God? Are you going to fully expect Him to do all that He can do? We are the blocker. We are the limiter. You know, if you're working on a machine, there's things in a machine called the limit switch that only lets on different machines. There's a hydraulic ram and you put a limit switch because you don't want the ram to go too far. And the devil wants to fit a limit switch on you so that you can't reach too far. He wants your hand to get the hair. He just wants to get the hair. The limit switch on. Disconnect the limit switch and kick her over the hedge so that you can worship God. Have the expectation that God's going to do something for you. That's the expectation we want. We see here Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verses 20, or chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, always so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Be that Christ will always, Christ is always magnified in the ministry of Paul. We see that Paul always wants to exalt Christ. He says here, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body.
Amen.
Let Christ be the center.
Amen.
And when He's the center, then He'll magnify out every other avenue. When you fill the whole space with light,
Amen.
If there's a pinhole anywhere, the light will come out through it, as it were. One tiny wee bit of light can overcome a whole room of darkness. Isn't that wonderful? If you come into this room and all the lights are switched out and it was completely dark and you had nothing in your hand, only a cigarette lighter, say, or a tiny wee bulb, and you could put power to that bulb, that light would overcome the darkness. That's why Jesus said, faith as a grain of mustard seed can do anything. Faith like a mustard seed. And you may say, well, I don't have faith. You may say that I'm lacking in faith. But God says He's imparted to every man a measure of faith. So the very fact that you're here tonight, the very fact that you were born again, the very fact that God has kept you to this point in your life means there's faith in you somewhere. All you have to do is tick off the limit switch and let her loose, as it were.
Amen.
You know, like Oral Roberts preached a message one time called Turning Your Faith Loose. He said people come to him and they said, I've got faith, I've got faith, I've got faith. But you know, he said they kept holding on to their faith. They kept rhyming it over, I've got faith, I've got faith. You're trying to build something up. You don't have to build it up.
That's right.
Once real faith takes hold,
Amen.
The expectation is that something's going to take place.
Right.
And then you just rest on it. There's a peace comes over you. You know that God's going to do it.
Amen.
But the devil wants you to think, I have to build something up. You know, it was, T.L. Osborne. That's what it was. T.L. Osborne, when he went to the meeting of Brother Branham, he said he was getting geared up. He says, I was a shouter and a noisemaker. And he says, when he seen that girl, the wee girl, come up, and she was blind. And he says, Brother Branham spoke so quietly and everything like that. And he thought, I'm going to have to get down there to give him a hand. He was getting geared up. On a simple prayer.
Yes.
And then he turned the wee girl around and she could see.
Amen.
Faith. He had the right expectation. He was resting on a promise that God gave him.
Right.
The angel of the Lord said, if you can get the people to believe. Now does that mean that you had to have Brother Branham to have a miracle? No.
Amen.
God is the miracle worker.
Right.
Jesus is the one that performed it.
Glory.
Jesus, like Brother Branham said many a time, he says, I can't do nothing for you. And if Jesus was here now, He can't do nothing for you. He's already done it.
Amen.
That's the way it is. It's already done. But the limit switch is on. Like the man come to Jesus, he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. We need to cast down our own unbelief. We need to have a positive expectation. Like Paul says that in all things, that he would have boldness. Don't be ashamed. The world's not ashamed. The world's not ashamed to shout and kick chairs over or whatever, or make a racket at a football match or anything to worship whatever they are believing in, and they get anointed by that. But we get ashamed. We're afraid sometimes. We're afraid to put our hands up. We're maybe afraid to clap. We don't want to make a disturbance. We don't want to seem like we're making a show or anything. And you know, if your heart's in the right place, you know, there is people that want to make a show, they want to be seen. Like Jesus said, don't be like the Pharisees that stand up in high places and pray and talk a lot because they want to be heard. But go into the secret place and God will reward you openly for that. But you know, there is a time when God can come upon you like King David. When God came upon him, he danced naked before the Lord. And the people thought it was an awful shame, it would have looked like an awful sight. But the anointing of God was upon him. And God says he's a man after my own heart.
That's right.
God can take any man. It doesn't matter. He's no respecter of persons. Like our brother Ian was saying. Like think of young Stephen. How that God transformed his life.
Amen.
God is the original transformer. Because it says be not conformed but be ye transformed.
Amen.
By the power of God.
Amen.
But the devil wants to take these things and pervert them. We see also in verses 24 and 25, it says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Joy of faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is your expectation? Do you expect to be cast down or do you expect to be uplifted?
Amen.
What do you expect? It's up to you. You know, that's what they say. When the priest gives a man the last rites, he tells him, it's now between you and God. After he spent his whole life telling him, don't be going to God, come to me. And don't be praying to Jesus, but pray through Mary as an intercessor. And then at the end, when you're about to die, he leaves you, tell it on your own. But you know, Jesus never leaves you nor forsakes you. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end.
Amen.
And when you step out of this old carcass here, you'll step straight into the glorified body, which will be exalted and speedier than light or time or anything, standing in the presence of Almighty God. If you do what he says you must be born again.
Amen.
That's our expectation. I expect good things.
Right.
Psalms 62 and verses 5. I love to see the psalmist David. Every time I think about it, it thrills me. It thrills me to think, because you know, you can partly relate to some of his lifetime, and you've worked with livestock and different things. You can imagine what it was like for that man that kept all them sheep and different things out in the wildest of places, where they were constantly battling wolves and lions and with all different things. Everything's out. You know, I was just talking to a man the other day, and I just was saying to him about how I'd lost a couple of lambs a few years back, and I'd blamed the buzzard on taking some of them. And I said there was one wee lamb, all the top of the head was cut off. And he was just saying a lamb is such a defenseless little animal. I was just thinking, it's not wonderful. Jesus came like the lamb, a defenseless little creature, a defenseless little baby lamb in a manger. But he's not defenseless now.
No. Amen.
He'll never be back in that position again. But his nature is off the lamb. He won't try to come and get you and put your arm up your back. He won't try to force you to do it. But he'll say to you, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my burden is easy, and my yoke is light. Hallelujah. The devil wants to yoke us up. As I say, he wants to put a limit switch on you. Then he wants to pick a half hundred weight of stuff and buckle on your back and weigh you down spiritually and physically.
Right.
He wants to leave you in a position where you feel like you can't do nothing.
Right.
But God, Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
He's in the business of breaking yokes.
Right.
Take the hatchet and cut her in two.
That's right.
Put the stuff in a wheelbarrow or use the digger. Don't burden yourself with the affairs of this world, for God's in control. What's your expectations? You see, Psalm 62 and verses 5, for my soul waiteth, my soul wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful? He's our anchor post. He's our go-to. He's the one that can hold you in the storm. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? The hymn writer wrote the song. You know, if you're anchored to the rock, Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter what the enemy does. If you've got the right expectation, you will get the right outcome. My soul upon God, for my expectation, wait thou only upon God. Don't put your faith in a man, because he will let you down. It doesn't matter what man it is. Every man made mistakes. Every man will continue making mistakes because we've got a sin nature in us. But God has redeemed us and taken our sins away and washed us in the blood of the Lamb. But you know, Paul said the things that I had found myself doing, I wouldn't want to do, but he does them anyway. Because it's the old nature. It's a constant struggle. But you see here, if we've got the right expectation, David had the right expectation. Because he says in Psalms 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I love that verse. It's a wonderful verse in the Bible, isn't it? When you think about it, if you've worked, like as I say before, if you're working with animals, the amount of effort sometimes you have to put into maybe getting a thing up and going, or a lamb, if it's not well, maybe you have to work with it, or you maybe have to go out and bring them in out of bad weather or something. And David's saying, the Lord is shepherding him. The Lord's watching over him. He won't leave you out in the snow. He won't leave you out in a rainstorm. He won't leave you defenseless. But he's given you a weapon tonight. Faith. He's given you a weapon tonight, the word. But what will you do with it? You know a message that Brother Brown preached called Expectations. He said in that message, I know I've quoted it loads of times, I'm just going to read it now. He says, we also get what we expect. When people expect anything, well, they usually get what you look for. It's the mental attitude that you have. Remember this and never forget it. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Your mental attitude's a lot to do with it. It's like you meet people every day with a bad attitude. No matter what they're doing, that they're not happy working, they're not happy doing this. They want to be at home, and then they don't want to be at home. They want to be working. They can't make their mind up. People are not content. They're not happy anymore. They're not settled. Because we've been taught the story of evolution. It's not evolution. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's evolution. You know, like that man John talked about, actually, I heard on the radio the other day, victim, Nolan, he was interviewing him a while back before he had died, obviously. He was interviewing him and he had said to him, do you believe in an afterlife or anything? No, he says, I don't believe in an afterlife. He says, if you want to see hell, he says, go out to the Middle East there and see what's going on. And if you want to see heaven, he says, go to Australia. And he says, once you die, it's all over. Well, he's in a bad way of going, I would say, the night then. Sure, he got a shock when the light switched out, as it were. But you know, that's what the devil wants to teach you. Live whatever way you want. Do whatever you like. When you die, all over, you're just like an animal. Just go into the ground. But isn't it wonderful when God caught his prophet beyond the curtain of time, that even his horse was there. Even the dove was there. Amen. He says, all that you have loved and everything that loved you will be here. Yes. It's a place far beyond our comprehension. But God let a prophet see beyond the curtain of time to give you an expectation, to give you an earnest hope of the victory that's laying before us. You may have trials and tribulations now, but there's a hope. There's a place for us. We see also there in Philippians, again, if we go back to Philippians, or maybe we never turn from it, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, But this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind, reaching forth onto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't look back. Cast down all vain imagination. Cast down all reasoning. Cast down all unbelief. And have a positive expectation. And know the devil will say, well, what about what you're doing back there? I'm not looking back. But I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on, as the song says, to that city where mansions are prepared for me.
Amen.
Jesus knew what I needed most when he baptized me with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm pressing on.
Yes.
Press on tonight.
All right.
Don't be cast down, but be uplifted. He says, verses 20 and 21, he says, verses 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body. Fashioned unto his glorious body, sorry. According to the workings whereby he is able even to subdue all things under himself. Amen. Once he died and rose again, he put all under him. Cast all down, he took the keys of death, hell and the grave. He's in control of everything tonight. What's your expectation? Time's scooting on by here now pretty quick. Well, maybe just, I know too many verses and all that, but I want you just to get the gist of what I'm saying. But maybe I'm all over the place, but maybe God will encourage you tonight. These verses, these scriptures, hopefully God will help you with them tonight and encourage you. Lamentations. Jeremiah the prophet. You know, think of the things that the people of Israel seen. Think of the things that the people of God seen. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21. Maybe read down to verses 26. This I recall to my mind, therefore having I hope. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
Hope in the Lord.
Yes,
for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
His mercy is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful tonight? It's wonderful what God can do.
Yeah.
He can take the nobody and make them into somebody. They may not look like a somebody to the world, but in his eyes, they're a somebody.
Amen.
Like he said again, referring back to the shepherd, and he said, the good shepherd left the 99 sheep and went after the one. He left all the sheep and he went looking the one lost lamb.
Amen.
He will leave everything to get you. He will draw you and bring you into his side. He'll bring you into the sheepfold and put his arms around you. He'll give you sustenance. He will put you and lead you, as the psalmist David said, into green pastures.
Right.
He'll lead you by the still waters, a source of life.
Right.
Water is a source of life. If you're in the desert, the one thing that you need most is water. Gary said this morning about them digging the wells. They needed the wells, but the enemy wants to fill your well in. That is the truth. He wants to block your well. He wants to give you no expectation. He wants you to be thirsty and dry, empty and broken and cast down. But Jesus wants to break forth and spring up a well within your soul that the devil cannot block or limit. It's a constant bursting forth of water, life within you, to overcome any obstacle that the devil can throw at you. Thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. I read this wee poem one time before, just come across it, I'll maybe just read it again. It's about the old violin. I think I read it one more time, but I'll read it again. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good people?" he cried. "Who starts the bidding for me? $1, $1, do I hear? $2, $2. Who makes it $3? $3 once, $3 twice. Going there, but no." From the room far back, a grey-headed man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiped the dust from the old violin and tightened up the strings. He played a melody pure and sweet, as sweet as the angels sing. The music ceased. The auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for the old violin?" He held it up aloft with his bow. $1,000. $1,000. Do I hear $2,000? Who makes it $3? $3,000. $3,000 twice. Going, gone, he said. The auctioneer cheered. The auctioneer cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand."
Amen.
And many a man with a life out of tune and battered and bruised with hardship, is action cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of porridge, a glass of wine, a game, and travel on. He is gone once, he is gone twice, he is gone and almost gone. He is going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul that is changed, that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Hallelujah! Isn't it wonderful when he touches you, and he heals you, and he saves you, and he delivers you? The touch of the master's hand. The crowd will all remember. Oh, I remember he was down there one time. I remember when he done this. I remember when he done that. God doesn't remember it. He says, "I cast your sins into the sea of my forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west."
Amen.
So far will he cast them away from you. He doesn't remember them. Why you remember them? Don't look back, but keep pressing on and have a positive expectation. Let's just stand our feet tonight. We'll bow for a word of prayer and conclude tonight. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your precious word, Lord. Lord, we say tonight again, Lord, your name is as ointment poured forth. Lord, it does us good, Lord, every time we hear the name Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for that name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, you've given us a positive hope, Lord. You've given us an earnest expectation, Lord. You've given us, Lord, something, Lord, that we can hold on to, Lord, in the storms of life, Lord. When all seems to be doom and gloom, Lord, we look to you on the Santa Cross and we say, Lord God, we know the tomb is empty tonight. The cross is empty. The grave is defeated. All death and hell is defeated.
Amen.
Lord, we look to you tonight, Lord, and say, Lord, touch, Lord. Heal, save and deliver, Lord. Touch my brother. Touch my sister, Lord. Touch that boy. Touch that girl. Touch each and every one of us tonight, Lord. Give us a positive expectation, Lord. Give us a positive testimony, Lord. Give us, Lord, something that when the crisis arises, that we will stand back and say no to the enemy. That we will say God's in control. Lord, we know you're a healer. We know you're a deliverer, Lord. We know that above all and the greatest of all, that you're a savior. Lord, we pray that you'll continue, Lord, to save, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies we've heard today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the words which we have heard today, Lord. Lord God, help us, Lord, to always speak a positive word, Lord. Words that will be positive, Lord. Words that will strengthen someone, Lord. That will help them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon our pastor, Lord. Continue, Lord, to bless him, Lord. Continue to anoint him, Lord. Continue, Lord, to speak to him, Lord. Keep your hand upon his whole family, Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your mercy, Lord. Help us now, Lord, to praise your holy name, Lord. And Lord, take us to our homes in safety when we leave this place, Lord. Watch over us, Lord, in Jesus' precious name we pray, Lord. Amen.